Hello, WBAI listeners and supporters.
Tune in Tuesday, November 1st
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for the first report of 2022
from the WBAI local station board.
This month, you'll be introduced to the LSB officers and to the PNB directors.
They'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI.
Please keep in mind, this is your chance to interact with the board members on the show, so don't let this opportunity pass you by.
So mark that date on your calendar.
That's Tuesday, November 1st.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
for the first report of 2022
from the WBAI local station board.
Only on WBAI in New York.
99.5 FM, streaming live at WBAI.org.
The previous program was Green Street News, heard Fridays at 2 p.m. here on WBAI New York. Now stay tuned for Ecologic coming up.
That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna cry for Mother Earth. Makes me wanna cry for we could do. There's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for October 28th, 2022.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we have two guests to help us recognize the 10th anniversary of Superstorm Sandy.
Cameron, please introduce yourself.
Hi there. Hello. I'm Cameron Foster. I am the communications organizer for the New Jersey Organizing Project.
And Sal?
Hi, Sal Apizzo. Hi, this is Sal Apizzo from Rockaway Beach. I'm the founder of YANA, which stands for You Are Never Alone. And I also am the executive director of an organization called Veterans in Command, where we house homeless individuals coming out of shelters and prisons.
So what are your memories of the day Sandy hit? Let's start with you, Cameron, since it hit New Jersey.
Yeah, so I was in my first year of high school when Sandy hit. I grew up in Point Pleasant. My mom lived in Point Pleasant Beach. My dad lived in Point Pleasant Borough. And the day of the storm, we went to my aunt's house to take shelter because we knew it was going to hit the shore pretty bad. The day after it was when, like, pretty much everything changed. My dad, when I had went with my mom, but my dad had stayed at home, and him, my stepmom, and my stepsister were all trapped on the second floor of their house, which was full of 4 feet of water. So we didn't fully get back into our house and finish repairing until 2018.
Wow. And Sal, what are your memories?
Well, I have extensive memories of Sandy. Basically, I'm sorry, I'm getting another call. But my memories are very, you know, very deep. I had just opened up a community center, which was called YANA, and we were ground zero for Hurricane Sandy. We had 7 feet of water that just washed right over our office. And to add to it, you know, the sewage disposal plant had shut down, so there was, you know, sewage everywhere. So anything that was touched by water was touched by sewage. It was really, really horrible. The block that I was on, most of the buildings on my block burned to the ground, so you had people swimming out of a fire. And I was fortunate enough that my building did not catch fire. That's my main memory of it. And the other best part of it is that, you know, Occupy showed up, guys from Occupy Wall Street. And then at some point, it just turned into Occupy Sandy, because people from all over just showed up and did what they had to do. We didn't have any civil servants out there at all. No, none of the, you know, the organizations like the Red Cross or the city police departments couldn't get out. The fire departments couldn't get out. The fire was burning for like a week. We had no utilities whatsoever. If it wasn't for Greenpeace International that showed up with a mobile solar unit, we wouldn't have had any electricity. We were fortunate they showed up. They plugged into my office, into the electrical panel, so we were able to have communication with our cell phones. We were able to have heat, and we had lights all through it. It took months. So Occupy was out there for years, never mind days and weeks. They were out there forever. So that's my memory, and my memory also is all these young people that showed up and helped gut out people's basements and get rid of sheetrock and all that kind of stuff. So, like I said, I could go on for a very long time, but that's basically my biggest concerns.
Yeah, and any of us who were honored to be part of the Occupy Sandy events efforts were just... It was the most gratifying aspect of the activism we've done over the years. It was just amazing. I actually took a sledgehammer to a black mold in Breezy Point. So but I only did it once just to say I did it. The rest of the time, I'm just sweeping the floors.
It was a big issue. It was a very big issue. Yeah, people were having what they call the cough, the Rockaway cough, because of all the mold and all the, you know, what happened was the weather warmed up after it, just like it is today, and all the dry sewage became airborne. It just powdered up and became airborne. It was awful. Scary. What my biggest concerns today, and speaking to you guys about the environment, is number one, you know, this is 10 years later, we still don't have an evacuation route. There's still only one lane that goes out into Long Island. And if the bridges are down again and the subways are down, there's no way to get out. And they're building these giant parks, but they didn't accommodate evacuation lanes. There's enough space for them to build four-lane roads out, you know, but they just haven't got around to it. And my other biggest concern is utilities. Anywhere that there's issues with storms or flooding, there's always power shortages. So So I would love to see at least, in the very least, microgrids through all the municipalities, the fire department, the police departments, the schools, medical hospitals. They all should have solar energy on their roof, away from the water, and then small wind, vertical wind turbines to keep the power on. There's no. This is 2022. I mean, we're at that point where there's electric cars running all over the place, but we can't put solar panels on our buildings. So I can go on. You can stop me when you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, I watched the storm surge from the window at WBAI, which was at 120 Wall Street at the time. And it was amazing to watch the waters get higher and higher and higher until they submerged the traffic lights across the street.
Yes.
So that's like 18 feet of water. It went up to the second floor of the building. It was amazing. And, you know, for weeks afterwards, there were diesel generators all over the financial district because there was no power. A telephone building that was supposed to be able to withstand a nuclear blast was completely open for several floors. Sandy was stronger than a nuclear bomb.
Imagine.
It's just amazing.
And the sad thing is they put the boilers and all the generators back on the ground level.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't need a PhD to figure out to put it on the roof, you know? but we still, I don't get it. And, you know, you would think that Florida would have learned something from us. And they didn't use our storms as an example how to do things better. And it's just a waste of taxpayers' dollars. It's a waste of lives, people dying behind this. This is crazy. I mean, we really need to step up. And it's because of, shows that you're on the radio and on TV like you guys are doing that are very necessary, and you would think these political guys would catch on to it and understand that there's constituents that want to see change. We want to see positive change. We want to see progress. Where's our tax dollars going? Why isn't there progress? Why doesn't a public school have generators on the roof? They're worried, you know, it's just, I don't get it. I get frustrated, to tell you the truth. They're still talking about putting windmills out of 10 miles out on the ocean, where it's obsolete. I mean, they do it in England. They do it in England. It has the biggest wind farm out on the ocean, and it's not working. And the people in the communities are so frustrated. They used to do fishing, but they had to stop fishing, and now they got these windmills out there, and they're charging the customer double what they were paying. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. Thank God for a radio station like you, man. Because you're getting the word out there, really.
Thank you, Sal. Cameron, what about the response in Jersey?
Yeah,
Cameron.
Yeah. So. No worries. I can speak a bit about the organization I'm part of, New Jersey Organizing Project. I just recently joined staff last year, but they were created in 2014, so that's 2 years after Sandy, and created by Sandy survivors, and we are still mostly led by people who were directly impacted by storms. And since the founding of NJOP in 2014, it's pretty much just been like communities starting at the shore and in South Jersey and expanding after Hurricane Ida to Central Jersey and all across the state to bring people together, storm survivors together to fight for our common goal of a disaster recovery system that actually works. Because the way that it's going right now, people are very broadly left behind. They have to wait, way longer than they should to get access to the federal and state aid that they need to rebuild. None of the processes are clear. Flood insurance is often more looking to make a profit off of people than to actually help them out with the insurance that they've been paying premiums on. And now we're having issues with Sandy survivors where sometimes years after the fact, they're receiving letters from REM asking them to repay the grant funding that they received in order to rebuild. This is something that we call clawbacks and that we're fighting on both the state and federal level right now to forgive clawbacks for all Sandy families. That's just a couple of things that we're working on right now. But as I mentioned, we're started by Sandy survivors, but we've since expanded to include Hurricane Ida survivors as well, because it's becoming more and more clear with every storm that, like, the problems that we had with Sandy aren't really solved. Like, a lot of them rolled over, and Ida survivors are now experiencing very much of the same thing. So we need a reform on a federal level of how we deal with disasters.
Yeah, it's accountability. We need accountability. I have a friend of mine that has a house in St. Myers, Fort Myers, Florida, and his insurance company went bankrupt. So that's it. We're bankrupt. Doesn't the feds pick that up? I don't know. I mean, it's just mind-boggling common sense. And that happened, and you know what, I was very discouraging also with FEMA. FEMA set up, you know, little offices everywhere. But FEMA's handing out taxpayer dollars, right? And then they're charging people a percentage interest on the money that they're giving them. So it's a loan. You're getting a loan on your own money. It's I don't know who comes up with these ideas. You know, it should be taxpayers' dollars, and that's it. Why do we have to pay interest on our own money? That's not fair, as far as I can see. But, you know,
another issue we see with another issue we're seeing with FEMA right now is, like, speaking again about how, you know, time has passed, 10 years have passed since Sandy, but how much has actually changed in how we deal with disasters. Sandy families were able to receive rental assistance from FEMA for, like, months and months after the storm. But now for Ida families, as far as we can tell, not a single Ida family in New Jersey has received the same rental assistance.
Really?
And there's similar issues with the federal CDBGDR funding. Sandy people, it took them a year to get that funding. For Ida people, it's looking like it's going to be almost 2 years. So it's just like, why are we going backwards instead of forwards? Like, why are these processes getting worse instead of better? And, you know, we're gathering on the 10th anniversary of Sandy to say how far we've come, but, you know, have we really come that far if things are going to be the same for future disaster survivors than they were 10 years ago?
You know, my understanding is that at the Port Monmouth gathering, you're going to have folks from across the country, because this is a national issue. And you've got, you know, Fiona in Ian survivors and all the rest.
We're actually going to be having our 10th Sandy anniversary event tomorrow. As you said, in Port Monmouth, and there's going to be folks from Louisiana, from Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, because all of these folks, and us as well as New Jersey survivors, we're all facing the same broken disaster recovery system. You know, like, NJOP has had a lot of big wins in New Jersey, but again, what happens with the next storm? What happens in the storms across the country? So now we're standing together to say, no more broken disaster recovery system, not for any of us. We all deserve to get home and whole.
Yeah, in our last few minutes, that's kind of the very important point to go over. We got to talk about resiliency. How can we stop this from happening again?
And also, how do people get to Fort Monmouth?
Well, unfortunately, our event is capped for right now, but we will be having a live stream, the link for which I can get you guys, if anyone wants to tune in on our online version.
Okay. You know, you're about to say, how do we change this? There's only one really what. Well, it happens grassroots. The same way Occupy from grassroots made a big change, you know, in the way that things were done. And they organized, and it didn't take a lot, but they just used common sense and logic. But I think right now, particularly in Rockaway, I could talk for Rockaway, you know, you have to hold the elected officials' feet to the fire, you know, and they want to get reelected, okay, but, you know, Let's start pushing them to those issues instead of talking about issues that really aren't local. You know, they talk about issues that aren't local. And I'd like them to talk about issues and have accountability. If they're not accountable, you got to be at their office and telling them, listen, you ran on this and you're not doing it. You know, what kind of BS is this? So I think that's really the only solution we have at this point. But also, we can get private companies that are into solar and into doing the right thing and showing them that they can make a dollar doing these things, showing them that there's education involved here. You can educate young people that don't have big degrees. You don't need a PhD or a master's degree to put solar panels on a roof. You break it down to them the way you do to a plumber or to an electrician. You know, these are new industries that have to be, used. And so there are opportunities for young people. And there's money in it. And this can happen. So it works. It works two ways. Number one, you're creating a workforce. And number two, you're saving the planet. I mean, this is all we have. Our days are numbered here. Holy mackerel.
Well, I'm sorry, guys. We have only just another half a minute. So, Cameron, you want to tie up with anything that you want to say, and then we'll continue on after the show.
For Environment TV.
For the Environment TV.
Thank you.
But I guess we really have to go now. As usual, the time flies by, and we need to wrap it up. But we thank our listeners for joining us. We really appreciate it. You can find more information at www.newjerseyop.org. That's New Jersey spelled out, op.org. And you can search for Rockaway's Yano, that's Y-A-N-A, on social media.
And join us in 2 weeks on Friday, November 11th at 2:30 p.m., for a follow-up on disaster preparations that what remains to be done for the future.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, including more articles on Sandy and topics such as the activism of Rive St. James. To listen to this show or any of our past shows again, it's all at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org. We know the environment is important to you. That is why you listen to Ecologic, and we appreciate you. We need you to realize that this listener-sponsored radio station is yours. Here's a way to exert your influence on the world. Show your responsibility and your love for WBAI and for Ecologic, and to help keep us on the air. Yes, you have that much power. So go to ecologic.wbai.org, leave out the www, and make your selection and pledge. Please become a sustaining member with a recurring monthly donation. Go to www.givetowbai.org. Go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount. We really appreciate your pledge of any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you. You'll have our sincere thanks.
For more details and advance notice of upcoming shows, those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page, enter eco-logic.
Reports on the Sandy anniversary are everywhere, but how much of that coverage is about our broken federal disaster recovery system? WBAI and Ecologic bring you stories from grassroots organizers who are first on the ground and who are continuing to support residents' advocacy. WBAI offers unique programming, and we don't have corporate ads or foundation underwriting, which is why you hear us asking for your support so often. We need you for Ecologic and WBAI to exist.
Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you important news, information, and entertainment. Radio might seem free, but there are costs. Like everyone, the station has rent to pay. As an employer, we have a shoestring payroll and a call center. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
Most of our premiums can be found both on their own webpage, ecologic.wbai.org, and on www.givetowbai.org. As always, to become a member or contribute monthly as a BAI Buddy, call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI Buddies. You can become a member or a BAI Buddy in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic, and get one of our many premiums, or simply make a donation to tell us you are out there listening. Again, the number to call is 212-209-2950.
We work hard every week to bring you new information and guests who are on the front lines of many environmental issues. Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
Much appreciation to our excellent engineer, Reggie Johnson, and congratulations for 20 years on the air here. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Dinah Stein. Join us in 2 weeks on Friday, November 11th at our usual 2:30 p.m. for more on the current state of disaster preparedness.
And I will be talking about WBAI and Hurricane Sandy on WBAI Wednesday at 11:30 a.m.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
Greetings, I'm Francesca D'Alessio with the WBAI Community Bulletin Board. On Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture is having a discussion on a new book, Comrade Sisters, which has contributions from over 50 women of the Black Panther Party. The discussion is free and open to the public. Go to nypl.org/locations/Schomburg. Also, on Tuesday afternoon, there's a Zoom webinar on legal abortion and the struggle in Argentina and Colombia. That's from 1 to 4 p.m. For more information, please call 212-854-3277 or send an email to issg@columbia.edu. And the Mumia Abu-Jamal court hearing is this Wednesday, October 26th. The Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition, New York City, and the Love Not Fear campaign will stand with Mumia's legal representatives on Wednesday, October 26th at 9 a.m. at the Philadelphia Common Pleas Court. For more information, please go to their website, mobilizationformumia.com. If you wish to travel down and back to the courthouse from New York City with the Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition, New York City, please contact the hotline 212-330-8029 to arrange a spot on the New York City Freedom Fighters bus. That's 212-330-8029. This Wednesday, October 26th, from 4 until 6 p.m., it's time for Halloween on the Harlem Mirror, everyone's favorite spooky celebration in Central Park. Come dressed in your favorite Halloween costume for Halloween crafts, not-so-spooky stories, and magical entertainment from our friends at the New York Public Library. It's free and open to the public. For more information, please go to centralparknyc.org/activities. Also on Wednesday, October 26th, is the last Wednesday of Art in the Park for this season. At the Large Kids Playground in Washington Square Park, starting at 3 p.m. until 5 p.m. And find Miss Debbie. For more information, please check out the website nycgovparks.org/events. If you have an event you'd like to share with us, please email cbb@wbai.org. For the WBAI Community Bulletin Board, I'm Francesca D'Alessio.
WBAI's next town hall, held by Zoom, will be Sunday, October 30th at 4 p.m. The topic up for discussion, the methods by which public assets are targeted, taken over, or otherwise neutralized, and what those doing so want. WBAI and other Pacific Network stations are part of our public commons. The assets, comprising our public commons are regularly targeted for privatization, destruction, or neutralization. Why? Maybe because we compete with private exploits while pursuing different goals. Come be part of a discussion about discerning the methods used to target public assets and the possible motivations of those doing so. Give us your thoughts. Zoom in by computer or by phone. Go to WBAI's Town Hall webpage for the Zoom link and phone number sign-in information. Please come Sunday. Let's hear what everyone has to say.
All righty. The previous program was Ecologic, and that is heard Fridays at 2:30 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.